Welcome to the Keystone Kickoff Show, brought to you by the Keystone Sports Network. Get the best Penn State sports news and analysis at KeystoneSportsNetwork.com or download the Keystone Sports app from your smartphone.
Hello and welcome to the Keystone Kickoff Show. I'm Jim Galante along with Jeff Byers. Happy Thanksgiving week to everyone. And to you, Jeff, hope it was a good one.
Absolutely. Can never have enough turkey, can never have enough football.
That is the great combo. But we're here to talk about Penn State football. Let's start with something that has been on your mind, well, essentially all season. You've been the biggest advocate for getting Bo Prabhula on the field. Finally, Jeff, it happened. Second half against Rutgers. Take it from there.
Well, it's just exactly what you thought it would be. And just so we're clear, I am not somebody advocating that Drew Aller needs to be the backup or anything of the sort. It's just that you have a unique skill set here in Prabhula. It is a different look. And in particular, to me, in short yardage situations, it is a player who offers exactly what you want in those short yardage situations, which is another runner that the opposing defense has to take into account when trying to figure out how to line up and put together the assignments for those short yardage situations. And I just don't understand why it isn't something that has been part of the mix from day one. I think Drew Aller is a terrific talent. I think Drew Aller is the starting quarterback, should be the starting quarterback. I think they need to also unleash his potential and let him play to his strengths, which I don't think they've done an especially good job of throughout the course of the season. But yeah, Bo Prabhula needs to be part of the mix of that offense, to me, consistently and regularly. And I think you saw against Rutgers why that is an important component. And again, it doesn't have to be every short yardage situation. It doesn't have to be alternating series or anything with that like that with Aller, but it has to be something where you're getting him on the field with some regularity throughout the games. Just again, because of the different look that it gives opposing defenses and the different feel that it gives the Penn State offense.
You know, Jeff, what's interesting with what you said about getting the most out of Drew Aller, it doesn't feel like we've ever seen that this year. But with Bo Prabhula in there, and I realize they ran the ball on every play except one, but did you not see some rhythm? Did you not get the sense that the offense had an identity? They knew who they were.
Yep. Yeah. And that's been the biggest problem all season, is trying to establish that. And yeah, again, I think they've got to do a better job of figuring out how to utilize the personnel they have and put them in the best situations to have success. I mean, that's what coaches do, and that's what James Franklin – and listen, I'm not sitting here telling you the coaches have been purposely not trying to be as successful as they can, but it just – it seems obvious to me from the outside looking in that, yeah, this is – needs to be part of the equation. And again, to what degree and exactly when and where you use them, we can argue about that, but you've got to use them. He has to be, again, to me, clearly part of the offensive mix and the packages that you're throwing together week in and week out. And for me, one of the great frustrations looking back on this season is I just think there were wasted opportunities there against Ohio State and Michigan. And again, I'm not going to sit here and tell you that they definitively win either or both of those games with Bo Prabhula more involved, but I think they have a better chance in both of those games if you're utilizing the package and whatever that package is and however it looks. I just think it needed to be part of the equation for those games in particular, but for every game throughout the course of the season. And you saw, I agree with you, the offense got in rhythm, understood what it was trying to do, and same thing with Drew Aller. Again, to me, the biggest strength of Aller is the strength of his arm. Let him utilize that. Let him fire the ball down the field. Let him use the middle of the field, the whole bit. I just, you know, we'll see what Penn State does here against Michigan State tonight, and then we'll see, obviously, what it looks like in the bowl game. I still, you know, not giving up on this season, but I think, obviously, the push here is to get Penn State to that next step. Everybody thought and wanted it to be this year. I think in the overall scheme of things, if it's next year, that's going to be perfectly fine. And I think there will be a chance again next year, because I do think even though they're losing a ton of defensive talent, they have a ton of defensive talent returning. You will have Drew Aller with a year under his belt. And hopefully, you know, again, I haven't heard any scuttlebutt or anything, but hopefully Prabula is part of the mix next year as well, and that they can kind of figure out how to use this offense and the talents that they have in it to a more optimal level next season. But I think, you know, that starts, I think it started with Rutgers, and I think it obviously continues here with what you see on a short week here. And, you know, it sounds like Aller, I know James Franklin is saying he'll play, and I think he will, but it sounds like he's been a little limited anyway in practice this week. So I will be curious to see what the mix looks like here tonight between Aller and Prabula, and what the offense looks like when either are out there or both are out there for maybe periods of the game tonight.
They are both so different in their skill set, Jeff, that it wouldn't surprise me if James Franklin might have been fibbing just a little bit in how he told us that Drew Aller would be ready to go. Would that shock you at all if he didn't play?
It would not shock me. No, it definitely would not. I'm hoping he does play some, but I don't know. I do think it's fairly telling if he's not throwing the ball when the media is around. It just it seems unlikely that he's magically just whipping the ball all over the place and is fine when they're not around. So I'm hoping he is able to play just because, in part, I want to see if they can kind of figure this thing out when both quarterbacks are healthy. What is the right mix there? And can they truly get an identity with the two quarterbacks on there? And again, I'm not calling for like a 50-50 split if they're both healthy, but I just think there need to be situations and different parts of the game where it's like, okay, yep, this is time to get Prabula in there, and let's see what we can do to ignite the offense and again just get it playing at its highest level. And I think getting him involved to some degree allows this offense to utilize all of the different components that it has.
Now, Jeff, you know I've hammered a couple points all season, and you, I'm sure, realize I won't let it go now, okay? And my take has always been that the running game, the issue was there's been no threat of the running of the quarterback ever pulling the ball out in the read option. He was never running the ball, so the defenses could focus on them. I've done this earlier in the week. Do you mind if I again share some numbers with you from this Rutgers game?
I would be delighted to hear the numbers.
Let me do that then, because of your request, Jeff. Do
Absolutely.
You know, with Drew Aller in the game, Catron Allen, Nick Singleton combined for 14 carries in the first half of this game. 14 carries, 34 yards. I will do the math for you. That's less than 2.5 yards a carry. How about if I give you the numbers when Bo Prabula was in the game in the second half and was a threat as a runner? Combined, Catron Allen, Nick Singleton, 13 carries, 97 yards. That is over 7 yards per carry. Is this simply case closed? Jim was right all along, Jeff.
I don't see how it can be interpreted any other way, Jim. At the end of the day, that is clearly the case. I did think, I'm not going to hammer on James Franklin here, but I was amused when Franklin, the post-game press conference, is talking about, I think for Bully in there, it opens some other things up for the running game. And it's like, well, right. And you obviously know that. And so why in the world would you not have wanted to open things up a little bit more for the running game against, let's just pick a couple of random opponents like Ohio State or Michigan, just to pick a couple of teams out there on a whim. Just a thought that maybe in those games you would have liked to have had that running game open up a little bit more.
You know, Jeff, I love how you pick out the names randomly. But I do also want to reiterate that it's not just that Bo Prabula was in the game. It was that the quarterback was a threat to keep the ball, in my opinion. And that's what I was been advocating all along, that I know Drew Aller is not the same runner that Bo Prabula is. We know that. But he is capable of running the ball, right?
Yes, and we've seen it. I mean, in very limited situations, but we've seen him be effective with it. And again, one of the frustrations to me, Jim, is it just felt like this was an offense that was crying out for the opportunity to grow as the season went along. And I think, to your point, I think if you start the season, and I really thought this is part of what was happening early on, is, hey, we're setting up that, you know, yep, Aller just hands it off. Eventually, you're going to see this thing evolve, and you just never saw it until, you know, I guess arguably the second half of the 11th game of the season.
Okay, Jeff, that's going to have to be it for quarter number one. We still have lots more to go. Stick with us in the quarter number two. This is Jim from the Keystone Sports Network. I'd like to take this opportunity to thank all our loyal listeners. As we approach the football offseason, a reminder that we will be here year-round talking Penn State football with all your old favorites, Dustin, T. Frank, Andy, and Jeff, along with newcomers Landon and Sean. But that's not all. We plan on bringing you new shows on our podcast format where we take a more in-depth look at not only Penn State football, but also the other Penn State sports. So be sure to download our app, Keystone Sports.
It's quarter number two on the Keystone Kickoff Show, brought to you by the Keystone Sports Network. Get the best Penn State sports news and analysis at KeystoneSportsNetwork.com or download the Keystone Sports app from your smartphone.
And welcome back to the Keystone Kickoff Show. He is Jeff Byers. I'm Jim Galante. We are talking about Penn State football, getting ready for Michigan State. And coming off this Rutgers game, a lot of things happened there, Jeff. We had the Drew Aller getting hurt, Bo Prabula coming in. We had new offensive coordinators, plural. I'm sure James Franklin also was part of that, had put his two cents in. And, you know, my question is, before Bo Prabula came in, did you see evidence that there was a new offensive coordinator?
Not a whole lot. A little bit. I do think, you know, it's. I wasn't expecting there to be any kind of drastic changes in 1 week. I think that the changes are going to be a little more subtle here because, again, you've got to go with what you're kids are comfortable with and with what the what you've practiced and what everybody thinks is going to work. But listen, I do think they did a better job even before the injury of just utilizing the personnel. I think it's still a work in progress, and I think, you know, this is going to be obviously a very interesting stretch here after this Michigan State game, between the bowl game and then the hiring of the offensive coordinator for next season, and then the lead up to next year and this different looking Big Ten. I know we're ways off. I'm really curious to see how different the offense looks next year, and how they utilize again the personnel they have. Because I just don't think they did an effective job of again really developing this offense. Again, I go back to the beginning. I really thought they were doing all of the handoffs to kind of set up, okay, down the road, you're going to see, yep, here we go with Drew Aller. And same thing with Prabula. I figured you'd get him involved early, and kind of the opposite, that as the season went along, you'd see Aller run a little more and you'd see Prabula pass a little more coming off of, and you just didn't see Prabula hardly at all, period. And it didn't feel, at least, like this offense really truly developed as the season went along and added the different wrinkles, built on what it had had success with early, and let's play off of that. It just didn't seem like there was that type of philosophy or just overall effective approach with the offense. And again, I'm not sure, even with Michigan State, exactly what I'm looking for or how much you're really going to see in terms of, okay, man, that looked or felt different. Even if they go off and score a ton of points, again, it's a Michigan State program that is largely in disarray, to the players and coaches' credit. I mean, they are playing hard. They've won two of their last three games, which is not insignificant given the situation they've been put in. But listen, there's a large disparity here in the talent between the two programs. And, you know, Penn State truthfully should have some success here against the Spartans tonight.
I think so, too. But, Jeff, let me give you my litany of issues with this offense and ask you to comment on it and why maybe some of these things didn't happen. We all know my thought about that read option. If the quarterback's never going to keep it, it's not an option. The running backs, I think that was part of their struggles, but I also think the coaching staff did nothing to help them out, specifically Nick Singleton. Did they work to get him to the edge at all? Didn't see that. We talked about the wide receivers not getting open. And my comment was, are there not things the coaches could do to scheme them open if you don't have receivers capable of doing that? A lot of people talk about throwing deep over the top. My concern was, how about the middle of the field, 15, 20 yards down the field, like we saw with the catch by Liam Clifford and Omari Evans in this game? Then that also adds in, if there's such dissatisfaction with these receivers, how about we take a look at some of these guys? I mentioned Liam Clifford. He was targeted once in this game. He got separation and a 15-yard gain, and that's the last time the ball was thrown to Liam Clifford. You know, my question is, if the wide receivers you're putting out there aren't doing so well, could the backups be doing any worse? How come we didn't see them? You know, I just rattled off, what, five or six items, and am I just not a coach, Jeff, and don't understand, or are those issues legitimate?
No, I think most of them are legitimate. The receiver thing is, you know, to me, yes, do you want receivers that can break the patterns to the point that they get wide open? Great, yes. But you look around college football, it's not a lot of teams that are having wide receivers that are just breaking wide open. That the separation thing is interesting to me, the discussion of it, because it's not that you need great separation, right? Like, good secondaries are going to be able to be in the neighborhood here. They're going to hang with you as a receiver. It's that you've got to get, you know, a step or get an angle where you have the advantage on a thrown ball to you. But part of it is the ball has to be delivered. And, you know, I go back, I think this Penn State receiving corps may be a little better than what it's given credit for. It just hasn't had a ton of opportunities to have those game-changing plays. So many of the passes have been in the 5 to 8 yard range. And yes, if the coverage is good, you're not going to have the opportunity to get those big plays. You know, I mean, we've talked about this all throughout the season. It's not that you need, you know, to be whaling the ball all over the place, but over the course of four quarters, yes, when you have a quarterback like Drew Aller, even if the receiving core is average or a little sub-average, to me, you've got to throw the ball downfield. Give the receivers a chance to go make some plays and see if you can create, again, one or two big plays a game in the passing game can change the complexion, in particular of games against Ohio State or Michigan, where, again, it is a tight one-possession game, and you feel like you can almost have that knockout blow just with that one play. I also just do not think there was a lot of imagination with the running game throughout the season. It wasn't just not using Pribula. It wasn't just not allowing Aller to run off of the read options. It didn't seem to me like there was a ton of like misdirection plays. And like, I would have loved to have seen much more consistently, you know, fake handoff up the middle and then that quick pitch to Singleton. Let him get outside. Do some things with your tight ends where you're allowing that. Again, I think both of those guys, are Warren and Johnson, are both great blockers along with being great receivers. Get the ball out to Singleton in particular and let him make a cut off of the tight end's block. I don't know. It never felt like this thing again evolved the way I just thought it naturally would. And again, I just completely, I guess, misread what was happening early in the season. I really was convinced that those first couple of games were being used to kind of set up, okay, this is what's coming later. And we just never saw here's what's coming later. It just was kind of the same thing week in and week out. And, you know, again, I'm not saying the receivers are blameless, and I'm not saying that there weren't other issues here with the players, but I really think the offensive struggles to be consistent largely come down to the coaches not really allowing these guys to be in position to utilize their skill sets to their maximum effect.
And I agree with that, Jeff. And now, in hindsight, with this change at offensive coordinator, do you get the sense that this may have been going on all season? That even I look back now in the Mike Yurcich going up to the coach's box as opposed to being on the sideline. It feels to me like now there was more going on, that there was conflict there for all season, and the offense suffered because of it.
Yeah, I mean, from the outside looking in, it sure feels that way. And I think it was one of those things where the patience finally wore thin within the coaching staff itself, where, you know, fans were pretty impatient pretty quickly. And I think there was, you know, again, I'm guessing here, but it's like, hey, we've got to be able to make this work. Let's, you know, keep figuring this out. And again, to me, the great disappointment was that you just never felt like, okay, Penn State gave everything it has, opened up the playbook, tried to do everything within its power to give the offense a chance to be successful. And doggone it, Michigan and Ohio State were just too good. Those defenses, and those defenses are, they're great. But I don't think anybody watching either of those games from the Penn State perspective came away saying, well, what are you going to do? Penn State gave them everything they had, gave them their best shot, and just came up short. I think you can live with that a lot easier than what I think is a situation in both of those games where it's like, oh, man, I don't think I don't think you gave this offense its best chance. You didn't take the shots downfield. You didn't see Pribula in the short yardage situations. You didn't see the misdirection that could really keep defenses on its heels. You know, you certainly didn't see any of that stuff consistently enough where, again, you felt like, okay, Penn State gave, its best shot, emptied out the arsenal, and left it on the field. I just think too much stuff got left in the playbook and got left behind in the locker room rather than, again, giving that a shot on the field.
Okay, Jeff, that is going to be it for quarter number two. When we come back, how about we go to the other side of the ball? How about we talk about the defense? We're going to do that in quarter number three.
Hey guys, this is Andrew from 409 Tailgate Club, here to talk to you about our new coffee barbecue dry rub set. Over the years, we've developed some great tailgate sauces and barbecue dry rubs, but our new coffee rubs are totally unique spice blends, low in sodium, and feature Happy Valley's finest coffee, W.C. Clark's, roasted right in the cheese shop in downtown State College. So head on over to 409tailgateclub.com, grab yourself some coffee rubs, and remember, always tailgate with honor. We are.
Let's get back to the action on the Keystone Kickoff Show. Brought to you by the Keystone Sports Network. Get the best Penn State sports news and analysis at KeystoneSportsNetwork.com or download the Keystone Sports app from your smartphone.
Hello and welcome back to the Keystone Kickoff Show. He's Jeff. I'm Jim. We're talking Penn State football. And Jeff, like we've been doing on our show all week, we spent the first two segments talking about the Penn State offense. Many times it felt dysfunctional. Hopefully we'll see better things. Michigan State. We'll talk about Michigan State game in a little bit. But, Jeff, in this discussion we've been going on and on and on and on about the offense all week, what gets lost is just how good this defense is. To me, you know, James Franklin talks famously about the team becoming elite. Hasn't happened, but I'd say the defense has reached that point.
Yeah, and that is one of those things, Jim, where, again, obviously they have a lot of talent. I mean, that is a defense that is steeped in really good athletic talent, a lot of experience now across the board, but also it feels like that coaching staff has done a terrific job of knowing what they have and knowing how to utilize it. And I think you have seen on that side of the ball kind of that development that I'm talking about that we didn't see on the offense. I think you've seen different things utilized and employed, and then they're building upon that. It's like, hey, we'll show you this look this week, and now we're going to show you that same appearance, that same lineup the next week, but now we're dropping a couple guys back. We're bringing, blitzers from the outside this week or in this particular situation. And they've just done a really good job of allowing that side of the ball to gain confidence each week. Again, I think just have done a terrific job of utilizing the skill sets of the individuals. I mean, Johnny Dixon has been obviously a tremendous force, obviously both as a cover guy, but really effective with his blitzes. And all of those guys, you know, we have been complaining for years, as I think all fan bases, by the way, have across college football. The tackling is not great in college football in general. This year's team, I'm not going to sit here and tell you there have been no missed tackles or anything like that. Again, I think the tackling component, just because of the nature of the way that the game and the practices have evolved, it is not what it once was. But man, compared to the rest of college football, Penn State's tackling has been as good as anything you're going to see in college football in this day and age. And again, I think for the defense, what's been really fun to watch is we knew the secondary was going to be really good. We thought they were going to be solid in the front seven. They have been really good with the defensive line. They have been really good with the linebacking core. And yeah, the secondary was outstanding from the get-go, as expected. But that is, you know, I would put Penn State's defense this season, statistically, they are right there as the best or one of the best in the country. Statistics can sometimes be misleading. They are not in this case. Penn State, that defense I would put with anybody in the country on any given day. It is, to your point, it is an elite defense, and there's no question about that. It's an elite coaching staff and an elite coordinator. It is an elite defensive line. It is an elite linebacking core. It's an elite secondary. And it's also a very deep group defensively. And again, they lose a ton of talent off of this year's team. There's a couple guys that we don't know for sure whether they'll be back or not. I'm telling you, even if they lose everybody that is a possibility, and it'll be a lot that they'll be losing, it is a ton of talent that is returning, and there is little reason to believe that this defense won't be outstanding again next season.
That's the really interesting part, Jeff, is I'm with you. I have total confidence in what this team will look like next year on defense. But what I thought fascinating also is, remember when the year started? Remember the concern was about the defensive tackles? Remember the concern was teams will just run all over them? Remember that, Jeff?
Well, I do.
They are allowing, where are my numbers? About 2.5 yards per carry and only 79 yards per game rushing to their opponent. And I realize some of those numbers come in because in college, the sacks get tied into the rushing totals. But this game against Rutgers, this Kyle Menunggi, if you've seen him run the ball in prior games, he's for real. His average, 2.4 yards a carry in this game, Jeff. That's a credit to the weak area of Penn State's defense.
Yeah, and listen, I was one of the people wondering. I mean, I you know, was just not sure that you know, Penn State would be able to solidify that part of the defense, and it obviously has been a strength. And again, this has been just strength upon strength on the defensive side of the ball. And I think it also, again, credit to Manny Diaz. Yes, he has a talented group, but he really did a great job, I think, of putting those guys in the right positions and the right spots to be able to utilize the talents they have and exploit those talents to their maximum effect. And, you know, it's fun when you see everything come together. And that's, I guess, part of the frustration on the offensive side is you see what can happen when everything does come together. You get the great recruits, you develop them, you get the leadership, and then you get coaches that are just kind of building one scheme upon another and figuring out different ways they can, again, utilize that talent and put them in different positions to go make plays and go let those guys have fun and build upon the successes they've had. And I just think, again, as this season went along, and it's been fun, Jim, because, again, you knew going into the season, right, you knew Callan King was an outstanding talent. You knew Chop Robinson was big time. You knew Abdul Carter. But, you know, as you go through the season, you know, our man Dom DeLuca has just been a tremendous force. And I'm going to start going through it. I'm going to forget people. But, you know, you go to Kaziah Izzard's a guy that's been very effective. Zaki Wheatley. I mean, there's just – you start naming. It's just been – again, you go two deep and in a lot of positions, three deep, and you're just like, wow, this team is in good position, in a good spot. But it's also, again, that they have – the blitzes have been varied. They're not predictable. The run blitzes have been very effective. It's not just the pass situations. I think Penn State has been very, very disciplined. Again, you go back to the coaching part of it. It is not easy to be really aggressive and very disciplined and be able to you know, keep in your zone or your assignment and not allow the big plays to get around you when you're as aggressive as Penn State's been. And for the most part, again, the Nittany Lions have just been play in and play out an exceptionally good defense in an offensive-oriented era, right? I mean, the rules are designed to favor the offenses. The coaching schemes with the offensive ingenuity that's out there, I mean, all of that is to favor the offenses. And yet this defense has consistently shown up and really in every game has allowed Penn State to be in it right to the end. And I don't think you can praise what the defense has done enough over the course of this season. It's been a remarkable group.
What I also see, Jeff, is I joked about it earlier in the year. It seemed like every television broadcast, they were required to say, oh, they're stars at each level, meaning Chop Robinson, Abdul Carter, Callan King. What's fascinating to me is that forgets Adisa Isaac, Curtis Jacobs, Johnny Dixon. And yep, the other part to it is the development of some players. You know, Kobe King, last year he was okay, but it's his development from year to year. We yep saw in KJ Winston a year ago, you know, some potential. Yep. Now, he'd be a star on most teams, but there's just so many stars here. So what I like is it feels like we're seeing development too, not just good players.
Yeah, and at all three levels there as well. I mean, Keaton Ellis has gotten better and better throughout his career. Hakeem Beamon, you know, Dennis Sutton has emerged as a star on that defense. And, you know, and Curtis Jacobs is another guy that, you know, what just when you look back throughout his career, I mean, this is a guy that has really put himself in a great position as you look ahead to the NFL draft. And yeah, I do think, you know, James Franklin rightfully gets a lot of credit for his recruiting prowess, but they have consistently, Jim, done a nice job on the development side of things. And that's, you know, again, you look at the NFL, and obviously it is riddled with Nittany Lions that have come through here under James Franklin. And I guess, you know, let's also address the other side of that, which is that is part of the frustration is, yeah, lots of great recruiting classes, lots of great development. These guys are going on and having success consistently in the National Football League. And yet here we are, you know, a decade in and still no playoff appearance for the Nittany Lions. And that is the other side of it is it's just frustrating because you feel like everything is in place that, you know, Penn State probably could have, should have been in the playoffs at least a couple of times here over that time period.
And yes, but it felt like this year, Jeff, this was the year that both Michigan and Ohio State, I don't feel like, okay, we need an upset. There's as much talent or more on this Penn State team than there is with those two teams. I really feel that, and they missed out on their opportunity. All right, that's it for quarter three. We got another quarter to go. And I'm going to ask Jeff about his game plan for Michigan State. Stay tuned for that. This is Jim from the Keystone Sports Network. I'd like to take this opportunity to thank all our loyal listeners. As we approach the football offseason, a reminder that we will be here year-round talking Penn State football with all your old favorites, Dustin, T. Frank, Andy, and Jeff, along with newcomers, Landon and Sean. But that's not all. We plan on bringing you new shows on our podcast format where we take a more in-depth look at not only Penn State football, but also the other Penn State sports. So be sure to download our app, Keystone Sports.
We head to the home stretch in quarter number four on the Keystone Kickoff Show, brought to you by the Keystone Sports Network. Get the best Penn State sports news and analysis at KeystoneSportsNetwork.com or download the Keystone Sports app from your smartphone.
And welcome back to the Keystone Kickoff Show. He's Jeff, I'm Jim. It's quarter number four of our show. And Jeff, we've wrapped up quarter number three talking about the defense. Both of us just so impressed with everything going on with it. And I know Manny Diaz gets a lot of credit, rightfully so. He schemes those things. You see it, you know, when Johnny Dixon, yes, he does a great job blitzing from the edge, but that's Manny Diaz scheming those things. He has a lot of talent. But the one thing I do want to make note of is the position coaches. Remember, there was the big question about Deion Barnes getting the job, and was he ready to be the defensive line coach? And, you know, the only thing we could do, Jeff, in judging that is the end results, okay? Now, give me a grade for Deion Barnes after watching his defensive line play this year.
I'm going to give him an A, and thinking about the A-plus there, Jim, because I really do. I think that group, if there was a question mark for me on the defense, it was in particular the interior of the defensive line. And listen, I thought it was going to be improved, but again, it was how much improvement would there be, and you know, how would they hold up, and in particular against Michigan, but against Ohio State and across the board. And obviously, they held up very, very well with all of the assignments throughout the season. And again, it wasn't just a guy or two. It was five, six guys that you're like, wow, this is rock solid. I think that defensive line has been certainly better than I would have envisioned. And I had pretty high hopes. I mean, it wasn't like I thought this defensive line was going to just be a disaster. But I thought if there was an area of the defense that wasn't as strong, it might be that defensive line. And, you know, if anything, I think the defensive line, they're strong in all three areas. But the defensive line really was the place where it started. In terms of that success on that side of the ball all season long. And listen, with Barnes, I think too, one of the things, Jim, is you know, a coach has to relate to his players, right? Like it's one thing to know the X's and the O's, but if the players are rolling their eyes and, you know, you might actually know what you're talking about, but you've got to get the buy-in from the players. I think Barnes and the level of success that he had, but the enthusiasm and his ability to relate to the players individually is a big deal, and I think was an important factor in terms of the way that group developed and played throughout the season. The other thing I think, Jim, when you look at well-coached teams, right, it to me, one of the epitomes of how that shows itself is you're much better at the end of the year than you are at the beginning. You know, obviously with my affiliation with the Penn State wrestling program, I see consistently every year with Kale Sanderson's group, they peak at the NCAA tournament. It's been unbelievable the degree to which they have been able to peak at the NCAA tournament. But that is a really well-coached team where, yep, you're getting better and better as the season goes along. That defensive line, Jim, again, you go back to the beginning of the season, it played well from the start, but it is, to go back to our overused term, it is an elite defensive line right now. And it has gotten better. You've seen different guys stepping up as the season has gone along. And I think right now that is a group that just completely knows what it's doing, has confidence, and obviously has a lot of guys with great skill sets. But that group in particular, to me, has really come along and developed the way you'd like to see a group develop over the course of a season.
And, you know, Jeff, when we pick out the defensive line immediately, okay, did we leave out the rest of the coaches at linebacker, at the defensive back, both safety and cornerback? No, they did a great job too. It's like, okay, top to bottom, coaching staff, players. And what I like was something you mentioned earlier in the show. It's there's going to be a boatload of talent moving on, a boatload. I have zero concern about the defense for next year. In fact, I'm like, I can't wait to see KJ Winston again. I can't wait to see Tony Rojas getting regular playing time.
Yeah.
Denai Dennis Sutton is going to be, I feel, unstoppable next year. That's the feeling you have about this defense, that it's just not the stars or the senior guys or the veterans. It's what's coming. They seem to be developing it, and this has been brought up at a couple broadcasts, but I think it's worth noting again that they quoted Manny Diaz as saying, when you're coaching, you're not just coaching this year's team, you're also coaching next year's team, and you could see that happening. Now, Jeff, I promised at the end of the third quarter I would ask you for the game plan for Michigan State. I'm putting you in the shoes. You're the coordinator, especially on the offensive side of the ball. What do you want to see, Coach Jeff?
Jim, the biggest thing to me is don't turn the ball over. Run the ball on first down. See if you can get a couple yards just every time throughout the game. Make sure you're protecting your quarterback. Don't go down the middle of the field. Scary stuff there. You can get interceptions, incompletions. I'd like to see more of like maybe the 2-3 yard dump off passes. Just go to short game and see if you can put to. No, I'm screwing around. Listen, I really, if Aller does play and I don't know how much or if at all he will. If he does play and he is healthy. Again, honestly, let him throw the ball down the field. See if you can create some opportunities for yourself for the big plays. And again, I'm not saying just if a receiver is double covered and there's not an opening, I'm not saying you just throw it just for the sake of throwing it. But I've been advocating this all season long. I'll advocate for it one more time. First play of the game, play action with either Allen or Singleton. Get both tight ends going down the middle of the field. Get both wide outs. I would have four players in the two tight ends and two receivers all doing streaks. Take a shot. Worst case scenario, none of them are open. Go ahead, throw the ball away. It's 2nd and 10. Let's go for it. But the chances of none of those guys having an opening, I think, is pretty little. And I think it's just worth a shot to open up the game. I really do think they've got to get a little more imaginative with what they're doing with the running game. Obviously, Pribula, even if Aller is healthy and is playing, needs to be part of the equation. I will be really curious if Aller doesn't play, exactly what this offense does look like, because it did seem to have that rhythm that we've been looking for against Rutgers. I also think Pribula is an effective passer, can be, and I think, again, if it is his game here tonight, that you need to allow him the opportunity to throw the ball too, right? And it should open up, right? There should be, because now everybody is seeing, well, Pribula's in the game, run. We got to stop him. We got to stop the running backs. Man, what an opportunity to set up that play action, get the tight ends involved out in the passing game. I mean, it should help open up not just the running game, but it should open up the passing game as well. And I think it should be one of those opportunities, again, to just highlight what you have, let the kids go have some fun, open it up a little bit, and, again, see what happens. This is one of those games, Jim, that, again, at the end of the day, I mean, Penn State is better than Michigan State, like, just across the board. So you don't have to go play a perfect game. You can make some mistakes, I think, and afford to get away with it. I think this is a game, though, where you want to kind of see, all right, what can this offense look like? What all could we do? And I think you try some things maybe that you don't know, have great confidence in. Let's see if this stuff can be executed against the Michigan State. And if it can, then, you know, again, you have some more time to work on it. See if you can execute it against, you know, whoever Penn State faces in hopefully what should be a New Year's Six bowl game now.
You know, Jeff, I like your plan. I'll tweak it just a little bit. That first play, that first play, I like that play action. You know, I like throwing the ball on first down. Instead of everyone streaking deep, I want to see that 15 to 20 yard pass middle of the field. Okay, it's not illegal to throw the ball there. It's not. Do it. If it's that play like you saw Liam Clifford open 15 yards down the field, I will take that and I'll be pleased. And I think it will help open up some of the other things. And I agree with you, a little more creative with the running game. I'll also, if it's Bo Prabula in there, and yes, he can't go 60 minutes without throwing the ball. But I think the difference, if Drew Aller's in there, I want to see them throw the ball to set up the run. With Bo Prabula in there, I want to see them run to set up the pass. And I know it was just a little dump off, but it was that triple threat play. Reached to give it to the running back, took it out. Bo Prabula had the opportunity to run the ball or put the defender in conflict. Comes up to Bo. He dumps it off to Tyler Warren. You get a 9-yard gain on first down. I love that. And remember, there was another play where he rolled out, had lots of time to look around, didn't see anything he liked except wide open for about 10 or 15 yards in front of him. I think you're right that him being the threat that he is along with the running game, it will open up things for him. Quickly, I'll give you the last word, Jeff.
Yeah, I think, again, Penn State just needs to have fun with this thing tonight. Go out, let it fly a little bit, see what you have. And again, it's a Michigan State team that Penn State, even on an off night, should win fairly comfortably. I just think hopefully Penn State puts it together, and I think the Nittany Lions end up winning it. I've been going with 45-10 as my call here tonight.
I think that's a pretty good call. Remember, Penn State, Michigan State, Friday night. Enjoy the game. Thank you all for listening. Join us next time on the Keystone Kickoff Show.
Hey guys, this is Andrew from 409 Tailgate Club, here to talk to you about our new coffee barbecue dry rub set. Over the years, we've developed some great tailgate sauces and barbecue dry rubs, but our new coffee rubs are totally unique spice blends, low in sodium, and feature Happy Valley's finest coffee, W.C. Clark's, roasted right in the cheese shop in downtown State College. So head on over to 409tailgateclub.com, grab yourself some coffee rubs, and remember, always tailgate with honor. We are